Welcome back to In the Moment. After a laundry list of ballot measure questions during the last election, a legislative summer study commission is taking a closer look at whether that process is too easy and what changes may or may not be needed. The Initiative and Referendum Task Force has wrapped up 2 days of meetings in Pierre. Listening, as always, SDPB's Lee Strubinger. He joins us from our studios in Rapid City to tell us what the committee plans on looking at over the next few months. Hey, Lee.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, it's going well. How about you?
Yeah, good. Very good. Yeah.
My first question is this. Why are we having these committee meetings in the first place? Give us the background.
Right, sure. So I think most South Dakotans remember all those ballot measure questions that we voted on last year.
How could we forget?
Yeah. I know, right? Those 10 questions included, you know, everything from that IM22, the ethics reform package, which we just love to talk about, to setting a cap on interest rates, to reaffirming a vote from a few years ago to raise the minimum wage. Of those 10 questions we voted on, there are three types of ballot questions that make the ballot, and I apologize for any jargon here. One is an initiated measure, which is basically a new law or change to state statute. Another is a constitutional amendment, which is basically a change to our state constitution, some of the language change. And then the citizens of South Dakota also have a chance to refer a law that the state legislature passes during session. Those are called referred laws, and a good example of that is voters voting to increase the minimum wage in 2014. Then the legislature, when they came back into session, they reduced the minimum wage for those under the age of 18 back to those original levels. So that law that the legislature passed got referred, and there's a certain window that people who want to refer a law, they have to do it within that certain time frame. And last November, we voters voted on it again, and the issue was upheld what was done in 2014. So the minimum wage, they basically said the minimum wage should stay the same for everybody, including minors, the voters did.
All right. I am with you. I've got the facts down.
Right. So some lawmakers felt that there were just so many ballot questions to answer during the last election that a legislative committee should take a closer look at this process. You know, last November's ballot has been affectionately referred to as the beach towel ballot. A little history here. South Dakota was the first state in the country to set up this initiative and referendum process, and a lot of South Dakotans are really proud of that. In the 1970s, citizens were given the right to even mend the state's constitution, which not a lot of citizens in other states get to do that. So House Bill 1141 was set up for this task force, and here we are.
All right. So what is the committee digging into specifically?
They're digging into a lot. So keep in mind, there's no set agenda right now, but some of the main talking points or takeaways from the initial meetings are kind of this. One would be requiring a higher threshold for constitutional amendments to pass. Some of the numbers that are being thrown around are, you know, like a 55% to 60% approval, 60% of the vote needed, you know, as opposed to the 50% needed currently. Assuming that if I don't vote on a constitutional amendment, that means no. So a blank vote would be a no vote, and that's a law in Minnesota. Requiring petition signatures from across the state in various districts and counties and some of those areas that don't really get tapped a lot. You know, most petitioners sort of rely on Rapid City and Sioux Falls to get that required number of signatures to even make it to the ballot. Another would be a limit on the number of ballot measures that can even reach the ballot for a vote. And then, another that was kind of talked about was changing the number of signatures required to, you know, possibly make it less easier to get on the ballot.
So some people are saying it's tough getting a measure on the ballot, and then others are saying that outside groups are using South Dakota as that sort of testing ground because it's easy to test out their policy ideas to be used elsewhere.
Right. That's certainly, you know, the narrative surrounding this entire discussion, right?
Sure.
Emily Wanless is the is a political science professor at Augustana University, and she's the one who's chairing this task force. In her opening remarks, she said that close to $10 million from out of state was spent on these ballot measure questions, both for and against, last year. That's a lot of money. So that's a factor that lawmakers have tried dealing with, that amount of money. And they tried dealing with it during the last legislative session. And, you know, as we heard this week, you know, Speaker of the House Mark Mickelson hopes to try and sort of limit that outside money from coming in, you know, via the ballot box, so we could possibly be voting on it in this next coming election. Anyways, Will Mortensen is also a member of this task force, and he was on the No on Amendment V campaign last year. Recall that Amendment V tried to establish this nonpartisan election system in the state. And he says that the initiative and referendum process was originally put in place to protect the state from outside influence, like money from the coast. But he said that that's changed.
We put this in place to protect ourselves from big money coming from the coast. And now it's the primary vehicle that big money from the coast comes in and tries to buy policy in South Dakota. Does that concern you at all?
Lee, at the end of the day, these are South Dakotans, though, circulating and signing the petitions and going to vote, right?
Right. Yeah. And it appears that this task force is really, they really have to search for this fine line, right? At what point is it too easy for these out-of-state groups, which many lawmakers talk about, especially in reference to IM-22, and if you recall Marcy's Law, that law that offers rights to victims of all crimes and to some of their relatives. What point is there to, you know, reduce those from coming in to buy an election, as has been said, versus, you know, actual, you know, South Dakotans using the system. There was a lot of concern about, and this was a term that was used, malicious ballot measures making the ballot. One of those examples would be that was thrown around during discussion was that constitutional amendment last year to set interest rates at 18%. For verbal agreements. Mm-hmm. Now, voters approved the 36%, but this would have overridden the 36% if both of them passed. The 18%, you know, was a verbal agreement only. Another rate would more than likely be agreed to in writing. And that measure was backed by the payday loan industry. Corey Heidelberger, he is the primary writer for South Dakota Free Press, and which is a liberal blog here in the state. Recall he ran for Senate during the last election cycle, and he was also behind two law referrals, the minimum wage issue we were talking about, and some of the changes to the petition process. Heidelberger gave testimony yesterday and ran with the idea of malicious ballot measure ideas. He says voters in the state aren't that easily swindled, and he says if there are going to be provisions to prevent malicious ballot measures, what about preventing malicious candidates from running for office? He offered himself as an example of someone who could run for governor, and he says that he'd need roughly 700 signatures to place his name on the ballot for governor.
That's it. I can do that in a couple days in Aberdeen, go to the flame, pick up some people, get some stake in the process. I'm on. Corey Heidelberger on the statewide ballot. If I want to put a law on the ballot, and again, just a law, something that'll affect probably one provision of statute, rather than a governor who for 4 years will define the state and wrestle with the legislature about its agenda. I think that's pretty extensive. If I just want to put one law on the ballot, I need 14,000 signatures. Amend the Constitution, 28,000 signatures. So just in terms of numbers, and you know I love numbers, it's already 20 to 40 times harder for me to put one mere law on the ballot than it is for me to subject the people of South Dakota to the clear and present danger of my occupying the second floor of this Capitol building.
So it should be noted that Heidelberger is a very open critic of the state legislature. Yes.
Duly noted.
Yes, yes.
All right. So another possible focus of this group, limiting the number of ballot measures that reach the ballot for a vote in the first place. Where'd that idea come from?
So, you know, depending on your perspective, the number of ballot measures that reached the ballot this past election, either means that it's, you know, too easy to place a measure on it or that the system is working. According to the state's Legislative Research Council, two states in the United States place a cap on the number of ballot questions that make the ballot. Another phrase that was said a lot during the past 2 days is this notion of voter fatigue. Mm-hmm. And while he says he doesn't necessarily support the idea of limiting the number of ballot questions, State Senator Jim Boland says he'd like to explore the idea.
That's just a reflection of, I think, the vast majority of people that I represent in the legislature. Just it's the sheer volume of these things that are on the ballot that causes voter fatigue for the people I represent.
All right, Lee Strubinger, thanks for joining us, and remind us when the task force meets again.
They're set to meet on July 19th in Pierre, and it sounds like they will have some sort of actual policy that they'll be looking at and discussing. It should be noted that this was an initial meeting of the task force to explore where the group might go in the future.
Good stuff. Thanks, Lee.
Thank you.